This episode of Lady Gang is brought to you by Starbucks Triple Shot, the extra strength coffee beverage in a can. What gives you energy? Find your Starbucks Triple Shot energy online or at your local store.
Hello, Lady Gang. Another time for secrets. You know what? Shame loves a secret. Have you heard that saying? Let's come in the confessional of the lady and let's divulge all your marriage and divorce secrets this week. Have you ever divorced via text message? Have you married for money? Are you a bridezilla? Wedding day disaster stories. Love those. How about you tell us the real reason you divorced your husband? Was it because he had permanent bad breath? I mean, we want to know and we want to hear all your secrets. Please write into the Lady Secret. TheLadySecrets.com. We cannot trace you. It's totally anonymous. Or you can call in, which is so fun, to our hotline, 1-844-SEXY-LADY, SXY-LADY, 1-844-SEXY-LADY.
Welcome to the Lady Gang. You're about to listen to our podcast, but there is so much more our community has to offer. Follow us at the Lady Gang, join our secret Facebook group, shop our clothing line, books, and find out when we're going to be in your city at theladygang.com. We're so excited you're here. Enjoy the show.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang. I am Becca Tobin here with Jack Vanek and Kelty Knight. And today's the best day of my life.
Oh, my God.
Can you feel it?
Brand new day.
Can you feel a Becca's happy today?
For once in my life, I'm happy. For once. It took 35 years.
Six years of Lady Gang. We've had mild pleasure. And today she's clapping. She's happy. She's joyous.
Has nothing to do
with us, Jack.
No, it never does.
Sure don't. Okay. So I'm going to start because
I just did it, bitch.
That's why she hates us.
This is why I'm never happy.
I was like, wait, we need a transition.
It's like being in a scene and someone's feeding me my lines and I'm like processing it. I'm giving you options. Okay. It's freaking
options.
Time for
good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh no.
Okay. I'll start with obviously my good week is that Monica Padman is here and it's just like, I have listened to every episode of Armchair Expert and I tell her this when we interview her because I'm lame and I'm a super fan, but she didn't disappoint. And this is obviously being recorded after the interview. I was really nervous because you don't want to meet your heroes, but
yeah,
I did. And wow. It went well.
That's probably the only time that meeting your heroes does go well.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's so cool. Happy for you. No, she's fucking rad.
Like, she just seems like somebody you want to like sit around with and drink drinks and talk shit about people with, but in like a productive way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What more could you ask for?
What more could you ask for? My bad week is that I started to wear, I obviously wear my Oura ring at night to sleep, but during the day I've been also putting on my Apple Watch just because I don't want to like have my phone on me at all times. And it's nice to know if it's like, because I've been on vacation and I'm like, I don't want to have my phone, but I'll have my watch in case like these losers need me. Mm-hmm. So I have been wearing it and you know how on the Apple Watch, it like senses your heart rate and it'll prompt you to do the breathing exercise. Mm-hmm. So it'll pop up
it's
on
like,
your
calm
wrist.
The down, bitch.
Yeah. It's like, hey, want to take a minute to breathe and it prompts you for inhales and exhales for 60 seconds. It's lovely.
Oh, wow.
And it always does it at the right time because it's sensing when it's high. Like if I'm like lifting heavy boxes or something, it thinks that I'm anxious. So it's like, let's breathe. And I'm like, no, I'm just lifting boxes. And sometimes I'm actually anxious. Well, I realized this has happened twice now. When my Slack notification comes on.
Oh my God.
My watch tells me it's time to breathe. The first time I thought it was a fluke. And the second time when I open it up and it's like, it's when there's like boom, 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 like so many messages and so many things. And I'm like, and I literally, my watch prompted me to breathe. So I am not making it up. I'm not being dramatic. Slack is not good for me.
Lady Gang gives you anxiety.
I mean, Slack also, like when I hear that ding, I'm like, ah.
Me too.
It's like, it's a necessary evil. And also it's work. It's not supposed to be like
enjoyable.
Oh my God. Come on in for your massage.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard shit.
Yeah.
I think we do need to make like a collective agreement to not do the
one
text,
word.
Text, 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 text.
I know.
Like,
that's my
everything
fault.
Goes in a paragraph. Because
yeah, big paragraph.
When I'm
big
driving
paragraph.
And I get 10 messages and
I know, but that's a Slack issue. Slack should ding you like only once every 5 minutes. Like it shouldn't ding you on every ding, ding, ding. I bet there's a setting for that. Alex is going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because every text gets a ding, then that is, it's very stressful for us all. I feel like it should text you to be like, hey, shit's happening, come check. And then like 2 minutes later, it's like, we're still talking, come check, you know?
Ooh, that is
that's
a good
idea. I also have friends who that's their style of texting. And I'm sometimes
that's me.
I can do
that's
it.
Me and I'm annoying. Yeah.
I don't think it's me. You.
No, I am. It's okay. Oh. I know.
My issue though, but like when
I'm
you're
so self-aware, I'm like, no, it's me.
But
I'm
when annoying. You're texting me, it's not like social text. It's like work stuff. So you're kind of like following up something that you said. Like to me, that's not as annoying. The thing that bugs me a lot is when my friends are just like, we're being like social and it's like, hey, how are you? Did you go to the beach? How's your family? Like all in three different, and obviously these are lovely texts to be receiving from my friends. Mm-hmm. However, I'm like, could you just put it in one? Cause it's like a really overwhelming thing to have 85 dings on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Consolidate people. Consolidate.
Mm.
Okay. Jack? I'm going to go. My good week is there is a show coming out called Boy Island. Mm. And I am so excited about it. So it's from Elon Gale, who was like the executive producer.
Your old boyfriend.
My old boyfriend that I dated for like 2 weeks. he was the executive producer of The Bachelor when The Bachelor was like amazing. And then when he left, it all went to shit. So he was literally the reason that was like holding it together and making it like an amazing show. So I'm so excited about this show. I have no idea what it's about other than a bunch of boys on an island. So it sounds like it's like right up my alley. So
Can we invite him on the podcast?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, we should when like the show actually airs because that would be
Nikki Glaser's the host.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching, I'm sorry to tangent, but I was on a plane and I watched the British Love Island and I don't know what the f*** you like about that show.
Everything. I love everything about it.
I was sitting there being like, I'm waiting to like understand and I absolutely cannot understand.
Well, it's a good thing to put on like mindlessly while I'm doing other stuff or like while I'm just chilling out and like I need to stare off into the abyss. Mm-hmm. But like I love those shows. I love any show that you put up like a bunch of single people in a villa. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I guess.
As long as there's a villa and a bikini involved, Jack's like, ooh.
She's in. Oh, when the girls all walked out to like be introduced and they're in just a bikini and heels, I was like, well, this is why Jack loves this show.
And not only heels, wedges, because British people love a wedge.
Love a wedge.
I hate nothing more. So
I don't think it's British people. I think it's women
at summer. They're like, I don't want to wear a full heel. I want to wear a sandal, but I still want to have a 4-inch heel.
They're like, how ridiculous.
I call that a Vegas shoe. Cause in Vegas, like every girl's at the pool with like a Fonz shoe.
Like I used to do it.
Everyone loves, Chris hates that shoe so much. He's like, don't ever wear that shoe.
So do I.
He cares about nothing, but he's like, I hate that shoe.
I love when men have really strong opinions
about like a very random
it's
thing.
It's like, it's Zach in the toe ring. It is, if we are anywhere, he can spot a toe ring from a mile across a restaurant and be like, we need to leave.
Get out.
I still got my toe ring on. It's going strong. It's like 3 years strong now. Okay, so my bad week is, so I was recently on a trip. I did not poop on the trip. So when I came home, I took a laxative. And... you know, 2 hours later, it does its thing. I'm like shitting my pants for like 3 hours. And then that's usually where it ends. So almost 48 hours goes by. And at 3 a.m. last night, it decides to reignite in my system. And I was shitting my pants for like 2 hours straight in the middle of the night, which is why I am so puffy right now because I did not sleep. And it was like, it wasn't like a trickle down of it. It was like, it somehow is like 100% working again. And now I'm scared that it's never going to stop. Like, and I have a dentist appointment in an hour. I'm like, what if it starts happening at the dentist appointment?
Jack has so many appointments.
I know.
I like, really do.
Jack, why do you? I have not been to the dentist in like years.
Well, other than my
You have just got your teeth redone. You definitely have been to the dentist.
No, I mean like for a cleaning.
Oh, no, Jack has like every day it's like a hair appointment, Botox or dentist or gynecologist, a microblading or needling. Like it's, you
Yeah, she's booked and busy, honey.
I'm booked and busy. You know what? I'm
getting ready for hot girl summer.
I know. I didn't do anything during COVID. I didn't have a single appointment. Right. So I'm like, I really got to make up for lost time. And a dentist is
importante.
Yeah. I chip my tooth. Like I got to get in there.
Oof. Okay.
So I hope I don't poop my pants. Anyways.
All right. Bad week. So one of the redeeming factors about being married to Chris Knight and sending him off into the world is that clothes don't fit him. Okay. So I know no matter where he goes, my 6'6" little husband is going to be wearing an ill-fitting outfit. And so, yes, he's so hot. He's so tall. He's successful. He's dreamy. He's got the wedding ring on, which I know makes him sexier. And he's like in these meetings and he's like, so like, ooh, I love him so much. But like his pants would always be like a little off-fitting. So I knew he was like a little messy. And so like, I don't have to worry about all the girls hitting on him or him cheating on me or like marrying a singer. You know what I mean? Like I feel safe sending Chris Knight onto the world until now. Chris Knight is in New York this week. He has big meetings. And before these meetings, he was like, you know what? It's time for me to like redo my wardrobe. So he got with one of his client's stylists and went for like a whole man styling.
Ooh.
He got this suit from The Row, which is like crazy chic as fuck.
Was it like 12 grand?
I know. So
no,
expensive.
Because he got the like styly discount. So it's, yes, I know. It's so, The Row's so fucking expensive, but he hasn't bought like a suit in a long time. So yes, it was an investment. I think it ended up being like about 3 grand, which is insane. But anyway, Chris Knight doesn't like fit in clothes.
Right.
So like when we got married, he had to get a custom suit made, which is also expensive. Anyway, Chris puts a suit on in the bathroom to show me. And I was like, oh, fuck. I am your first wife. There's another. I cannot be sleeping at night knowing that you are walking around New York City in this wide leg, perfectly cut, chic as
wide leg,
perfect suit. Yeah. Like the Jonas Brothers, Harry Styles. Like he is so hot. Ugh.
See, wow. You made the error.
I need pictures of this because yes. I love the idea of Chris Knight in a Jonas style suit.
It is.
Yeah, I can't picture it.
Oh my God.
He probably looks like a modern day Beatle.
He looks so hot. They put him with like a van shoe and like a white striped t-shirt underneath. And I was like, I'm sorry. By the way, the pants don't have a belt. They just have like the little loops that you tighten. And I was like, this is honestly, I will pay out of my own money. I'll stop paying my mortgage and we'll just get you more of these suits and you can only wear them in the house. Like it is a beautiful thing. Anyway.
I need this stylist for Zach. He's very in a rut with his dressing.
Yeah. Chris is like still, he was like in college mode for a minute. He's still been in college mode this whole time. It's like you've been out of college for 20 years, but live your life. Okay. That was my good week, right? No, that's my bad week.
No, your bad week because he's
off in New York being hot. My good week. I accidentally won my third Emmy.
Wait, you actually got it?
Yes.
Like you received one?
Well, not yet. It comes in the mail. But yes. So this year I've been working part-time at Entertainment Tonight. But the Emmys – so they called me and they're like, hey, are you coming to the Emmy – or no, the Emmy nominations are coming out today. Good luck. And I was like, okay, well, I like don't really work there anymore, but okay. And they were like, no, you're on the list. And I was like, that's kind of weird, but thanks. Like, that's really nice. I guess my part-time work has been very important to you. So then Emmy day comes and they're like, are you coming on the Emmy Zoom? And I was like, wait, it's today? I was literally walking the dog and taking out the trash. Like, I had no – like, what a change. You know what I mean? Yeah. I used to have a countdown calendar to Emmy day. So they're like, are you coming on the Zoom? I'm like, okay. So then we won. And then I was like, this is so confusing to me, but it's for the 2020 season, which I was full time for like three quarters of. So please call me by my official name, 3-time Emmy Award winning Kelty fucking Knight.
Oh my God.
Accidental Emmy to just roll up the end of that era of my life.
I mean, that's really the way to do it is like minimal effort and then maximum payout. So you know, this is your new life now.
None of these Emmys really I deserve, but I'm going for it and I'm owning it. So can't wait to have the triplet. I have so many Emmys now. I was considering sending one to my parents. I'm literally like Meryl Streep, who's like, everyone can have one of my Oscars in their home.
Oh my God.
That's it.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Cool. Okay. Monica.
Could we be more hyped about Starbucks being a sponsor of the Lady Gang? I think not. Starbucks Triple Shot Energy, the extra strength coffee beverage in a can, is our go-to over here for fueling us. It's extra strength or 225 milligrams of caffeine. That's right. We don't mess around. Starbucks coffee that you love, ready to drink. So it's offered in classic flavors and now in zero sugar. So basically, it's the energy you need to do whatever it is that you love to do. We love it over here. There's four core flavors. There's vanilla, dark roast, cafe mocha, my fave, and caramel. 2 0 sugar flavors, black and vanilla. They are zero sugar, dairy free. We love them so much. There's a flavor for everyone. And we want to know, like, what gives you energy? Find your Starbucks Triple Shot Energy online or at your local store. It's summer. We're running around. We want to stay cool. Grab your coffee in a can. Don't overthink it. Get your Triple Shot Energy going from Starbucks. We love you. And so does Kathy.
As you know, I was just in France looking fierce in a red Gucci, and people were like, you don't have a SpongeBob square body. And I got to be honest with you, I knew I was going a month ago, and I went so hard on my Obey fitness classes. There were so many times I was like, I do not want to do this. I just want to lay on the couch and eat Klondike bars. But I went and I was like, 28 minutes. You can do 28 minutes. They have Sculpt, power classes, Pilates, yoga, dance cardio, bar, meditation. I mean, I just lifted heavy weights and did Pilates every day. And I feel like I got in great summer shape. And here's the great thing. We have a whole month for you for free. Just go to obeyfitness.com, use our code LADYGANG, and you're getting an entire month for free. You know how much you can change your body in 30 days of classes? It's a lot. They have on-demand classes. They have live streaming classes. It's an amazing community. And I swear, if you just start today, just start 28 minutes. You can do hard things for 28 minutes. Obeyfitness.com. Use our code LADYGANG for a month free.
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe that we're already to the end of July. I feel like summer just started and I want to slow it down. And when I feel this way, I grab a Coors Light because Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down summer. Summer always feels like the shortest season and it is my favorite season. So I hate when it's slipping through my fingertips, but we all need to make the most of it. And we all just need to chill. As the beer that's made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer, rediscover and enjoy what makes summer so awesome. So when you need to slow down, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind this summer. Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down summer because as the beer that's made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart or by going to CoorsLight.com/lady. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, what are you waiting for? We're coming to Austin, November 6th, the Paramount Theater. Tickets are available at theladygang.com, and I think there's like 20 left. So please come. And by the way, if you're a single girl in Austin that doesn't have a friend to bring, we are having a ladies coming alone section where you can just meet new friends. So don't feel like a loser if you're coming alone. I go to alone to Matt Nathanson concerts all the time, and it's the most fun. See you in Austin. Head on over and get some tickets at theladygang.com.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
Hey, armchairies. Our guest today is one half of the second most popular podcast in the world, next to Lady Gang. Just kidding. The most popular podcast in the world, armchair expert that we all love, an actress producer who's taken a wild ride in Hollywood, a lover of men crying, Ben Affleck, wine, getting the PQs. Please welcome to the Lady Gang, Monica Padman. Yay!
Hello. Welcome. What a great intro.
Listen. You're an icon at this point.
Full of PQs. You know, you rarely hear PQs in an intro.
You know.
Can we start off by letting the ladies know that might not know what a PQ is? We just got to start it off.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Of course. It's a pussy quiver. And it's every girl knows it's something that happens in their body when they see a cute boy or a cute girl or whatever. And that's a PQ.
So I would love to start this episode by letting Becca just like set the stage for the iconic moment that we're having on Lady Gang today. I mean, we're close to 500 episodes at this point.
Wow.
You know, we've been at it for a long time. And Becca, as a general sense, is not excited about anything. We've had, you know, she does not get that excited about any guest we have, except Monica Padman.
Oh my God, the press. I also can totally relate because that's what happens on Armchair too. Like we have crazy people on, just like the most insane guests. And I'm always kind of like, I should be more excited about this. This should feel different. And it's always like someone who I just had a personal, not relationship with, but like a personal affinity for, that I'm always like the most excited for. And it doesn't really make maybe global sense, but I get it. I get it. You get kind of desensitized.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, I have listened to, I think, every episode of Armchair Expert and The Race to 270, and Now Shattered Glass, and Monica and Jess Love Boys. Can't wait for season two.
Ooh.
I have consumed so much Monica Padman, and wow. I feel like, well, I'm also from Atlanta. I also did cheerleading.
Wow. So kindred spirits.
Kindred spirits. And so I don't know what it is, but I just freaked out when we booked you because it's the only thing I talk to anybody about is Armchair Expert. And it's really annoying for people.
And so now I'm so like, sorry.
I legitimize the obsession.
Wow. I'm really flattered. Thank you for saying that.
So tell us the story of how you became the co-host.
So the kind of beginning. Yes. So Dax had been on a couple long form podcasts like Marc Maron and Off Camera, that show. And he loved it. Like he loved talking for a long time. And because, you know, normally he's doing like talk shows and they're like these 5-minute sound bites and you don't really get to go
the
deep.
Meat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so he loved those so much and was like, huh, like, I think that might be something I like to do. And I was just kind of like around the kitchen table when that conversation happened. And I was like, I can probably try to figure out how to do that. And so then I like, you know, met with some people who I knew had podcasts and that's kind of how it happened as far as me like producing. And then he said, I think you should be on it as like, you know, an opposing voice, which is just our dynamic in general. So he was just kind of like, I think you should be on it to lend your voice when you feel it's needed. And then he came up with the fact check. That was all him. So it kind of was like this weird organic, we didn't know what we were doing at all. So it was kind of just like, yeah, maybe you should be on it. And how about this? And you know, we were just kind of flailing and playing.
That's the best way though. That's literally what we did with Lady Gang too. It was just like, you're just like, I don't know. Are people going to like this? And then you're
nobody knows what they're doing in the beginning. They're just like, okay, I guess we're going to wing it. And like, hopefully something sticks. And obviously it's stuck. Yeah.
I feel like you have such a great, healthy relationship with celebrity because you happen to stumble upon like the two decent humans in Hollywood. And so every time people come on the podcast, I'm just like, thank God Monica had this experience with celebrities because I don't think you could be as gracious as you are in those interviews and as patient as you are if you'd seen the dark side, like Kelty, who's worked on Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah. I've seen the dick side of every person that's been nice to you on Armchair Expert.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my husband is manages Robin Thicke and you guys had him on the show, which was freaking the best interview he's ever done. And I was like, I'm so glad. Honestly, I think there's something special about the two of you. And I think maybe because Dak's been through the tabloid fame, he understands. But it's like, I've known Robin now for 20 years and I've always been like, God, I wish the world knew him like the way we know him, because he's actually kind of like a schmo and like really a lovely guy. Yeah. And that was the only interview that I've ever heard of him where he didn't put on like his like, hey, like Robin face, you know? And yeah. You guys have like you have a really special knack, because like Harry was the same way. Like I was like, oh, you're normal. Okay.
There's definitely a comfortability that I think people have when they talk to us. And I do think that has to do with Dax leading with so much vulnerability. Like because he starts everything like that, it's kind of, it would feel very odd for the other person to not, I mean, and it's happened, but I think that's sort of part of why we get those types of sides of people, which is so amazing. And I loved Robin. I was like, same thing, like going in, I was like, oh boy, what's this going to be? Like, you know, I didn't know. I only see
right
a version of him. And then I was like, this person's a sweetheart. Like, he's so lovely. And those are the best interviews for us, where we, you know, end and after we're like, God, everyone's just ultimately like struggling in a person and kind. Like, everyone has a part of them that's kind. Also, but what, like you're saying, everyone also has hard,
a dark side.
Dark sides, exactly. And that includes the nice people. That includes the decent people. You know, I know Kristen and Dax so intimately. I mean, I basically live with them, you know, and I don't, but I did for a second. And I've seen their dark sides. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody is, you know? And mm-hmm. I think we have to be, we're so like quick to judge celebrity based on like the headline or the bad moment instead of like the step. I mean, that was kind of the point of doing this, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you fight with Dax? Like, do you butt heads after the shows and are like, oh, Dax, get it together?
Oh, not after the shows, but we butt heads all the time. I mean, that's like built into our relationship.
But like not show, like at, like I'm talking in the business of it, like putting together the show, like put your producer hat on. Like, is it hard to be like, okay, I understand you're Dax Shepard, but this was shitty, or like this was not great?
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, we have all kinds of business discussions that sometimes aren't, you know, super smiley, but maybe this is just my own weird, I don't know why I have this, but I never have like, I know you're Dax Shepard, but because of our relationship, like there's none of that. Like, we are equal in this business partnership and personal relationship. And like, you don't get to do that or, you know, I have no problem saying that or feeling like I gotta walk on eggshells or anything like that. Like, that's just not our dynamic. And I feel the same with Kristen too. I don't know why I have that. I think most people do have that, that sort of feeling of like, well, I know you're this, but like, I don't have that.
That's why your relationship's probably so good with them. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, they're just people.
Yeah, they are. They're people. They're my best friends. Like, that's how I qualify them.
I love that. You have a new podcast, Shattered Glass, with and where did the idea come from? And we're excited about this.
Shattered Glass, it premiered last week, last Wednesday, and this Wednesday will be the second episode. It started because during the election, I was so like, I was so amazed by Stacey Abrams. I was like kind of infatuated by her. And I was like, what is that? Like, I need to know more. And I need to know her story. And the fact that she was just like breaking down all these walls. And I was just, and she made an insane impact on the result of that election. And I was like, this woman is amazing. So I really wanted to interview her for Armchair, but then I thought like, huh, I wonder if there's a world in which we just do this with a lot of women who have, you know, put cracks in the glass ceiling and revolutionized the way we think about this thing, or even just like in small ways made the, you know, conscious, they changed the consciousness. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that would be really fun. And of course I was like, well, I should do it with Kristen. That would be really fun. And so that's kind of how it started. I think I was literally on a run when I was like, this would be fun. And like on my walking lap, I just texted her like, do you want to do a podcast together with women? And she was like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Done.
Yeah, done. And it's been so fun.
I listened to Gloria Steinem this morning and it's really, 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 really good. And it's nice because it's like showing a different side of you, I feel like, because when you're with different people in your life, you kind of take on different dynamics.
Yes.
So it's really fun to see that side of you, even though I love hearing you tell Dax what's up all the time. You're like the voice of the generation of millennial women. But I wanted to ask you about Monica and Jess Love Boys. So yes. You did, for people who don't know, season one was Monica and her gay friend Jess, who is male, and they both are single, kind of perpetually single people.
Yeah.
And they brought on experts to kind of sort through their bullshit. Exactly. Jess is somebody who likes to hook up and not have relationships. Monica has not been so I don't know if promiscuous is the right word.
Just don't date.
You don't date.
Yeah.
And so it was really amazing. And you guys were so vulnerable and you opened up so much. It was like, it was pretty groundbreaking, the things that you guys were admitting to. And I think it was awesome. And at the end, you guys had like all of these challenges where you had to go on dates and you had to one night like wear really, really like sexy clothing and take yourself out to a bar.
Oh my God.
If you guys have not listened to this, you must go back and listen to this because they're about to do season two. And this is before they started, they took submissions from the public for people who wanted to date them. And it's kind of like Bachelor style.
Love you.
So have you recorded that yet? Is my first question.
No. We're still in application phase. It's still up. So people can still apply. We're probably going to close that pretty soon.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Have you looked at the applications? Like, have you sifted through
them? Is there anyone interesting?
I haven't, because I'm terrified. So I haven't even looked. Like, I don't want to know how many there are. I don't want to know anything.
Oh my God.
Until I get to like, you know, after a massage or something when I'm feeling very zen.
Can I jump in and just ask what the sexy outfit was? Because I was just at a weekend pool party with I was the oldest one there. And I am shocked and confused by the sexual outfits that people are wearing with a sneaker. You're not even wearing a heel to elongate the leg.
Oh wow. Well, that challenge got a little wonky. So I was supposed to go on a date and wear something.
Bodycon.
Well, I'll use the word that was used, slutty, which I hate. I hate that word. And I, you know, that episode in particular was with the Millionaire Matchmaker, and in particular is like, whoa, there's a lot that goes on in
that polarizing episode.
Yes, 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 I would say so. Yeah, but my challenge was to wear something sexy. But I kept saying, I was like, I do wear sexy stuff just because it's not like so revealing, but she was not buying that. So I wore a I think it's an ALC top. It's black and has like kind of, it's sleeveless. It's very tight and it's cropped. But it's also like classy, you know, I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's not me. But yeah, it was tight. It was cropped. Mm. And I wore kind of black, like kind of swishy pants with
it. Swishy pant does not.
I like a swishy pant. I like a swishy pant. I'm into this outfit. With a crop top, you can wear one tight thing and then one loose swishy thing. Exactly. It's a perfect combo.
That's what's hot. And yes. Then I wore heels. I did wear heels. And that was the outfit. Oh, but what? So I was supposed to go on a date and wear this. And then in between we recorded that episode, I went to Vienna with Kristen and some girlfriends. And we went to New York. And then I had this big medical thing. I had a seizure. We didn't know what it was. I was like taking all this medication when I got back. So everything got like really out of whack very quickly. And we had to record the next episode. And I was like, I can't go on a date right now. Like, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I can't like, I can't drink, you know, all this stuff. So I just wore the outfit and went to a bar by myself and just like was like prancing around the bar by myself, which was horrible. I hated it. It was probably worse than going on a date.
It's worse. Well, yeah. And you couldn't drink, right?
Yeah, so I'm just like sitting there with like a water in my
cup. Solo in a swishy pant. Not okay.
Exactly. Not okay.
Do you think you're going to find love on this one?
Mm-hmm. God, I mean, I'm trying to not put like big expectations on it. And I know that's also part of my own defense mechanism. Like if I had learned anything, I probably would be like, yes, like super excited.
Yeah.
But I have moments of that, of like thinking like, wow, like what if there's a person who comes on who's awesome and we connect. But right now I'm just like, I'm thinking of it in such a work head space. Like, oh, mm-hmm. this is something I have to plan and do. And but once we get in there, I mean, it's going to be, we're so scared. Like every time Jess and I let ourselves like really talk about it and really think about what it's going to be, we're like, oh God, like why, what did we do? What are we doing? But it'll be fun. We both love The Bachelor so much.
Same.
Oh, it's the best. We haven't watched this season yet because we've all been so busy. So we're going to do like a binge night soon. Mm,
it's great. You'll love it.
Is it? I love her.
She's, I'm obsessed with her. She's like an emo kid. And like, she actually like validates all the men. She's a great bachelorette.
Yeah.
Great bachelorette.
I have a question regarding singleness and being, you know, a woman in her 30s. There was an episode of Armchair Expert recently. Maybe it was Chris Bosch's episode. By the way, I love him. And I now live in Austin and I just want to find him.
Oh my God. You'll find him.
I'm fully obsessed. He's hard to miss.
Yeah.
But you guys were talking, maybe it was in the fact check where you and Dax have had this conversation a lot about how you don't have children yet. And you feel like, first of all, your life, if you're talking about whose life you're going to save in some sort of, like they do a lot of hypothetical,
right.
Love. And Dax will be like, I'm saving the people with children first because they have children. And you know, it's like, mm-hmm. so you're like, I feel like my life is less valuable and this whole thing. And it's an interesting and actually as silly as it sounds, it's a really interesting point of view as a single woman with no children. But I also really loved the point where you pointed out when people go on trips, when adults go on trips together and they assign bedrooms,
yes.
the person who's single always gets the shittier bedroom.
Always.
Or
always.
The couch. Like it's last on the list.
Right.
Yeah.
And I
you
think
get the bunk beds.
And it's a really important thing for all these people out there. We're going on all of our summer trips. So when you're assigning rooms, don't shaft your single friends just because they don't have an annoying significant other with them. So
the thing is that's tricky is I get that so much of this is quote logistical, right? It's like, well, yeah, you're going to save the person with kids because logistically they have people who physically rely on them. That's all true. And logistically, when you're on vacation and you're assigning bedrooms, you're going to give the couple who sleeps in a big bed together a bigger bed. It's like, you know, all of this makes sense, but then emotionally it doesn't. Like emotionally it doesn't feel good to the person who is like, oh, I guess, yeah, I'll die Like, you know, I mean.
Well, I'm also like, what about my tomato plants? Do we not care about the tomato plants? My succulents
that are on a deep hydration schedule
every Saturday? Like, go fuck yourself. What about the plants?
Yeah, plants need people too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a trick. You know, it does. It always starts silly because that's how that conversation first started. Right. It was like after this white elephant party and our really, really, really provocative friend, Eric, was with us and someone, I had a Ouija board. I got a Ouija board in the white elephant and then it got stolen from me and whatever. And Eric believes in spirits and, you know, all this stuff. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so glad someone took the Ouija board from you. And I was like, he's like, you don't want that. Like, that's bad spirits. And then he was like, who got it? And I was like, oh, these people. And then he was like, they don't have kids, right? And I was like,
oh my God,
what? Like, just, they're not like less, it's not better for them that there are spirits in their house or like worse. But I just like was like so spinning out about that, but it was a joke and we were all laughing, but then it turns very quickly into like a real conversation about worth. And and it's like, it's so societal, this pressure on women to have a relationship and then have kids. And I buck up against that anyway. And then when you see like the little seeds of it around, it just like, it drives me nuts. And also because I've had the thought, like, I've really had to sit down and think, do I want kids? Do I want a relationship right now? Or do I feel like that like brings me up a level societally? Mm-hmm. And that's not something I should be thinking about when I'm thinking about what I want.
Right.
So well, it's all just, it gets complicated.
No, it's a really interesting conversation. And we had this happen to us. Actually, we had a show on E and there's two things I want to say. Number one is that, sorry, to go back to, we're writing our second book right now called Lady Secrets, and we're also taking submissions. And I just want to shout out, not like giving away anything, the amount of submissions, Monica, that we have gotten that are just people regretting having children is crazy. And it's a totally anonymous platform. So this is a place where you can just write in and say the thing that you can't tell anyone. Oh, and like, I would say that so far, 30% of this, like the book is just going to be the same story over and over again, because so far I would say 30% of the secrets are women, well, or people, I guess. We don't know if they're women or men, saying like, I regret having these children. I regret having children with this person. I regret being a parent. Wow. I wonder what my life would be like if I hadn't done this. I don't like my kids. Like, it's crazy. And then I was going to say, when we had our E show, when we were being canceled, we were like asking for feedback and in focus groups, you know, I'm always trying to learn. I'm like, okay, well, you're canceling us, but like, she's like, what next time?
Yeah, what can I change?
What can I change about myself from top to bottom to make you like me next time? And they were like, well, we're just looking at these women, like these 30-year-old women, and like, where are their children? That's what the focus groups were saying.
We weren't relatable because we didn't have kids.
Yeah. And literally, like, through the filming of over the year, there was like miscarriages and pregnancies and like all this different thing that like we weren't outwardly talking about. But the feedback from the network and from the focus groups was like, where are their children?
It's so annoying. And Mother's Day became this whole thing this year as well, because we've been in this pod for, you know, a year and a half. And we are so tight knit, and it's family. It's like a bunch of families and me and, a couple of our other friends. And we've been spending essentially every day together for a year and a half. And on Mother's Day, you know, again, understandably, logistically, all of this makes total sense. The dads plan something for the moms, there's me and then another girl who doesn't have kids, but she was out of town. So it was just me, not there. And I was like sitting at home that day, like while they're all hanging out, like, this sucks so much. And partially when I really like dug down, I was like, because I don't not want to be there. Like, it's not, I wish I was in that club some days, a lot of days, you know, and it feels like this closed door, but like, and it's this whole like, oh, but you know, and they need to run, and they do. Moms run the world. They're insane. It's crazy. I get, a front row seat to it. I can see like they need to be pampered. They need to be appreciated. But I'm also like, but they're also lucky. Mm-hmm. They're also lucky that they're in that position. And, mm-hmm. and it just brought up so many feelings. Like, oh my God, I'm on the outside. I don't like it. It's not a choice. Right. All of yeah. this becomes not really a choice. I don't know. It just got very.
I think that's so valid. I'm actually dealing with something kind of similar in my new neighborhood. I moved to Austin with three other couples. Like, our pod basically was like, peace out, LA. We're going to Austin.
Whoa.
So we committed and we're in. And they all have children. And my husband and I do not have children yet. And we've been kind of trying for a million years, it feels like. So we move into this neighborhood and it's a lot of young families and it's a lot of women with children. And my two other girlfriends are just meeting people like left and right through their kids, and they're having brunches and they're having lunches and play dates. And I had a moment where I was like, I'm not meeting anyone new because I'm at that weird age where it's hard to meet other women your age, yeah. unless you have these kids like meeting at the playground or at school. And I 1,000% kind of had a moment when they were all grabbing lunch with other moms that like, it wasn't until like the final hour where one of them was like, oh, do you want to come? And I was like, no, it's fine. It's totally fine. I would just be weird. I'd be that weird lady with no kids. It's fine.
You'd be like nodding. You'd be like, the nose sucker thing that you pulled the boogies out with. Yeah.
And no.
I had that feeling. It's like, it just, you know, it's not easy to be our age and not have that thing as part of our identity.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, that's such a bummer. I mean, I've kind of just got to the point where I'm just really honest about it. Like, I'm just like, I don't like being left out. So if there's
invite me, yes, damn it.
You might as well just invite. And again, not for mother, but it just in general, that is something, you know, for some old trauma, I'm sure, that has caused me to like be very, very, very sensitive to that.
Yep.
So, you know, I've just, and again, and people can do whatever they want. They can have small, it's not like you have to invite everyone to everything all the time. I'm not saying that, but I've also made my, quote needs kind of clear. Like I'm bothered by this in this scenario. So, it's also okay to say that. And you can even say like, I know it, maybe it'll be weird if I'm there. I don't know, but I feel like I'd rather be there and try it out than not and be included. And I think maybe just saying it, sometimes everyone's just in their own bubble. You know, no one's like really thinking about
everyone else. We only think about ourselves.
Well, maybe your trauma stems from some of my trauma with being left out. And I have a theory, and you probably have an even better perspective on this being a non-white girl in Atlanta or the suburbs of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I think that teenage girls in Atlanta are some of the worst breed. Like the meanest. The stories I have about how mean like 13-year-old girls were to me rival anybody else's. And I'm like,
that's just 13-year-old girls.
How to be more awful in like Marietta, Georgia.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I mean, perhaps, I don't know, because I haven't been, we haven't been in all the cities. But I also, just to be very, I have incredible girlfriends from home who are still like, you know, we're on a group chat and we see each other. We try to see each other once a year at least. And we're very close still. And I've been insanely lucky to have that. So I don't think it comes from them so much as it comes from me feeling very other mm-hmm. and trying very, very, very hard to assimilate, and being left out was just like validation that I wasn't doing a good job of assimilating or that I was weird. And they didn't want me there. And, you know, all of those things I think are just like so embedded, even though I obviously don't feel that way anymore. It just comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to tell the story, however long you want to make it, but about the boy who liked you in elementary?
Oh, Dairy Queen. Yes. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So we were in sixth grade, and it was me and my best friend, and she had a little boyfriend, and his best friend was so cute. I liked him so much, and he liked me, and the four of us like hung out, you know, all summer and whatever. And we were at the pool one day, and my best friend went up to him and said, "Hey, why don't you ask Monica to be your girlfriend?" And he said, "I can't because her parents work at Dairy Queen." And okay. And again, no one understands. You understood it probably immediately, being from Atlanta, but like the Dairy Queens there are often franchised by Indian families. My parents do not work at Dairy Queen. And I don't think he was really saying they work at Dairy Queen. Cause also if they worked at Dairy Queen, you'd be like, yeah. Yeah, then we get free blizzards.
Those free dipped cones.
Love an ice cream cake. Yeah.
But, you know, he was just saying, like, oh, I can't because she's Indian. And it was kind of the first time. I mean, I think I've been battling this feeling of otherness for a while, but it was the first time that I was like, oh my God, this is a big problem. Like, this is going to get in the way for the rest of my life. Like, no one can like me. Like, not like no one will, no one can like right. me. Cause it was like presented like that. Like I want to, but I can't because right. of this. Mm-hmm. And so it's become, it's so silly to say like that has like affected the trajectory of my entire life.
It is not
life.
Silly at all. I don't think that's silly at all. I think that is like, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's been, It definitely did. And then of course, you know, then I get in my own way and then I have like, I pick all these people that I can't have, you know, it's become this whole spiral that we address a lot on Monica and Jess season one. So we get so deep when you said that, like we get really vulnerable. We so do. And that wasn't the plan. It was right. like going to be a fun show or we go on dates. And then it got so deep so quick.
That's dating in your 30s though.
Yeah.
It's so like true. It's so fun to ground at 22, but when you're like tick, tick, tock, tock, ovaries drying up, like,
yeah. And like, I think when you're older, you start realizing that relationships are only going to be as good as your work on yourself. Like if you're not doing that, the relationship is not going to be anything, you know. You have to work on yourself first, I think. And I think you only really get that the older you are.
I love that. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play a game called Tears of Fears, AKA Acceptable Things for Men to Cry About, in honor of Monica being here today.
Over here at the Lady Gang, we like being smart with our money, and Credit Karma is one of our sponsors, and they are helping us get rewarded for being smart with our money. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. So Credit Karma Money is brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. You just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. How cool is that? So when you make a purchase between July 1st and July 23rd, listen to this. You'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. That's right. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC, maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
You know, it is no surprise that I'm not the most motivated exerciser out of the lady gang. And honestly, the thing that always slowed me down was the getting ready, the going to the gym or exercise class, and just being kind of awkward and embarrassed because I didn't know what I was doing. But this has all changed with Obey Fitness because I can work out in the comfort of my own home, apartment, hotel, wherever. And I love it. So Obey Fitness is a streaming platform offering daily live classes and more than 6,000 on-demand classes. And they have everything. I'm talking Sculpt, Strength, HIIT, Yoga, Pilates, Bar, and so much more. And Obey not only delivers the variety of fitness content that you crave, but also the results that you want to see. And when you join Obey, you'll also join this amazing community of instructors and other members who are always there to cheer you on. It's the most fun that you're going to have working out, I promise you. So start your trial today at obeyfitness.com and use code LadyGang to get 1 month free. What do you have to lose? Obeyfitness.com, use code Lady Gang to get 1 month free.
I'm so excited to announce that one of my favorite shoe brands, Rothy's, now has men's. That's right. You want your man to be in a chic summer pant or jean with a cute little slip-on from Rothy's that when he gets messy and decides to do yard work right before you like go to church or whatever, you just throw it in the washing machine. It's brand new. It's amazing. They're durable. They're washable. They're better for the planet. I love my Rothy's, and I was so excited when I got the email that they have men's and ordered up some for Chris Knight. To help you welcome summer in style, Rothy's is doing something very special. They gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a very limited time. Through August 1st, 2021, you can get $20 off your first purchase of $100 or more at rothys.com/ladygang. That's rothys.com/ladygang. You do not want to miss this. Head on over to rothys.com/ladygang to find your new favorite Rothy's today and pick up your man some Rothy's too.
You're listening to the Lady Gang.
All right, so we're back. Monica's here. We have put together a list of many scenarios in which men have cried in front of us. And we would love to get everyone, the whole group's intake on acceptable things for men to cry about. Why or why not?
And the backstory here is that Monica has a thing for men who cry.
Yes.
But not always. It's not a blanket crying. It has to be specific things or reasons that they are crying. And this is why.
Oh, and this is a great game. Okay.
Okay. So first of all, we're going to start super simple. Crying after sex.
Simple?
Whoa.
It's probably the most complex thing ever.
Because there, I need more details.
I think, but maybe just no details. Just you have sex with a guy, finish, you don't know him well, so you don't know what the backstory of the trauma could be, and then he just cries.
He cries.
Oh my God.
Like, of course, my narcissistic self goes to like, it was such a beautiful union.
That's honestly, I guess
my tits were so great that he just had to cry.
Couldn't handle it.
Yeah. That's probably not why he's crying.
I'm gonna say yes. Yes, it's acceptable.
All right. Okay.
Becca
Jack? Because, go.
Well, tell us why.
Yeah.
I guess because I think I would feel like privileged or something that they would feel comfortable crying in front of me in that moment, because men do not feel that is not something I would say most men feel comfortable doing. So I think I would feel like, oh, something major is happening. And then I guess I'm like in a privileged position here. Yeah, definitely. It's fine with me.
Okay.
The more I think about it.
You do love exclusivity.
I do.
See. Crying on your wedding day.
Yes.
I was so mad when Chris Knight, my husband, did not cry.
He didn't?
Yeah.
No, I was like, Becca cried like a pussy coming down the whole aisle. She's coming down the stairs. Our tough nut, like tough love girl, was just like a weepy willow. And my husband, I was so beautiful. And I was like, why are you not crying? Don't you
I look so gorgeous in this
dress?
Don't
you love me?
I was so
That's hilarious. He probably was just overwhelmed. The weddings are scary. There's so many people, there's so many things. Like,
he doesn't like being in front of people.
Yeah.
I probably felt so uncomfortable. Yeah. He's like, his uncomfortability was like overriding his emotions.
Yeah. His love of me. Okay. Crying. You're sitting on the couch. You're just flipping through. You don't know what you're doing on a Friday night. You end up on a Lifetime movie. You're like, this kind of is interesting. You finish it out. He cries.
Yeah. It's fine with me.
I like that.
I just feel like I'm gonna say yes to every single one of these.
If you said yes to the after sex one, I think that everything else is
the bar. Okay.
Let's try this. The drunk in love cry. You're out in New York City. You've gone out. You're walking home through the streets. He's so in love with. No, but Monica, you don't understand. Like, I love you so much.
Yeah, that's
my person.
Nope. That's a no. I'll give you a no on that. I don't.
Great.
Because that's also not even real.
Yeah.
That's why the sex thing, like, the sex thing feels so real that has to be acceptable. But if they're drunk and, like, it's just like, you're just, that's not real. So, no.
Okay. He's having a hard day and he's being so quiet. And you're like, what's up? And he says, my grandma died and has a little cry.
Oh, my God, Kelty.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking of all scenarios.
I probably would also be like, I'd be so, like, you know, sympathetic. And then I'd be like, why didn't you text me earlier? Like, why'd you wait till now? And why'd I have to ask? You know, yeah, that would probably get into a fight. But the crying is fine.
What about if it was where I thought this question was going, is he was very quiet and then he had a long day at work and then he's crying because of work. Like, he got so stressed out at work.
Yeah, that's also okay with me.
Okay.
I love a good executive hustle cry, you know, just like so overwhelming. Okay. You're watching the end of Titanic and like, I'll never let go. I'll never let go. And then he has like a cry. But I just want to caveat. This is not 1995. We've seen Titanic many times. We know how it ends.
It still is good every time you watch it, though.
This is a tricky one. And I don't know this person that well.
No. Mm-mm. This screams instability.
I think I cry at the end of Titanic still.
I mean,
exactly.
Unstable though sometimes.
Exactly. Point taken.
It depends on where I am on my cycle.
Yeah. I would probably raise a little bit of a red flag, but I would allow, like, I'd go on another date.
Okay.
But I would note that as like,
Noted.
Okay.
Okay. We just two more big moments. He's reading a book in bed at night. And you just hear a sniffle, sniffle, and
this is allowed. Yeah,
a man that reads.
Yes, it's so sexy.
What about,
and that they're so enthralled that, like,
they're like, I loved Shantaram.
What about he cries when his sports team loses?
Oh my god!
Oh, that's a great one. No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Absolute biggest red flag.
That's a no for me. And that's really funny because growing up in Georgia, obviously going to UGA, I mean, I have so many guy friends who would like that. Mm-hmm. It means so, so much to them. And
but why?
There's a thing about it to me that I'm like, oh my God, that's unhealthy. Like that,
that
connection, it feels like you're replacing something else there and it starts to get unhealthy. So No.
And then the worst part is like, what if you're dating this guy? The football team loses. He has a big cry. And then you walk down the aisle and he doesn't cry.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
That is a good point.
Be careful with those tears, you know? Actually, yeah. I'm really glad you brought this up, Monica, because I know you have to go, but I have one last question that I just want to ask you, like, personally, out of, you know, my love of the Royals, is that, you know, this unhealthy thing, like, so I always like to say, like, I went to the royal wedding, which I didn't. I went as a journalist and was like standing outside and
but
like,
I
was in Windsor the day of the wedding and I stood on the street for 9 hours and we overnighted, like, we had PAs overnight our spot so that, like, and then I would tag out. And then I stood there for 7 hours and waited just for like the one shot of the carriage to drive by. And I was like, from the royal wedding, I'm Kelty Knight. Like, that was it. And then it was gone. Like, that was my royal wedding experience. But anyway,
oh my God.
But when they got married, they like rang the fucking bells to like let everyone know they got married. I couldn't see anything. We didn't have the live stream. I didn't even see the dress yet. And I just was bawling hysterically. Like I cared so much because I care about Prince Harry so much. And he never does an interview. And you got to sit with him for like an hour and a half. And I can tell that you guys cut stuff out and there was even more to it than you air. Like you can kind of tell. Just like, what are your thoughts on, are we happy for him? Do you think he's happy? Do you think he's okay?
I love him way more now than even I did before he sat down on the couch. He was so cool and sweet and engaging and I mean, not to, this sounds so selfish, and it is selfish, but I also like when people are engaging with me, I feel differently about them than when people come in and sit there and they are ignoring me and only talking to Dax.
Dax. Like,
which I get. I mean, that's the, he's interviewing them, but I'm sitting right next to him. And so when people are like actively like, oh, and there's another person here.
Oh, wow.
I appreciate that. And he was so like asking me things and looking at me and directing things to me. And I was like, oh my God, this person is lovely. And I do think he's happy. I really do. I do think he's happy. I think he's, I hope, proud of his decisions that were incredibly hard to make. Oof. I mean, do you guys watch The Crown?
Yes.
Like, the fact that he left that, it sounds crazy to people who don't know the backstory of like, you know, the English royalty, but it is a cage and it is like Stockholm syndrome. Like they all, no one knows that they're in this cage and they're being told that they're, you know, insanely privileged and they like technically are, but they're not because they're deprived of so much. And like to be able to zoom out is asking a lot of a person. And he did that. And I just think it's amazing. Yeah. And to your point about cutting things out, which I was very shocked by this because I had so many conversations with she runs their production company now. She's awesome. Before, obviously, leading up, like we had a lot of conversation and stuff. And she was in the room and she was going to, you know, tell us what to cut out. And very, very little. Like,
wow.
Less than many other interviews we have. So I was really glad about that.
It's just, I mean, it was so good. And it's interesting. He's probably so ready to speak, you know, that like there probably was less to cut out than like a Hollywood celebrity who's like on the, yes. ooh, like the publicist is like, cut.
Exactly. And they're worried about getting canceled and stuff. So everyone's just like so afraid. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. My heart feels so happy. Becca and Jack, thank you for sitting through 5 minutes of royal talk. They are not into it. Monica, you can follow Monica if you're not following her already, which you're basically all following her, ML Padman on Instagram. And listen to Armchair Expert wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Shattered Glass with Monica and Kristen, which is out now. And then all the other shows. We'll link all of the shows. I don't even know how you had time for us. But congratulations. You're really changing the game. And I know Becca wants to personally thank you for coming on. Becca?
Thank you so much. The first time you were supposed to come see us and you canceled, I spiraled.
Oh, no! I'm so sorry!
I legitimately was like, I bet you she went on my Instagram and she hated my vibe and she was like, this girl.
Took it as a personal
I was like,
thing.
Oh, do you think it's something I posted today? Do you think it's something? So
I had to take her off a ledge.
So sorry. I mean, look, this is why you got to listen to Shattered Glass. We're not doing that. We're not doing that to each other. Girls are not doing that. We're going to support each other. And I was just so busy. I'm so sorry.
No need to apologize.
Put you through that.
It was
emotional. I'm not going to lie. I was like, Becca, it's fine. She's busy. She's 9 shows. Like, it's fine. And she was like, I don't know. She probably hates us. She probably looked at us and she was like, these idiots. And I was like, well, no, people, that's exactly what she thought. But she still said yes.
No, not at all. I'm so flattered anytime anyone wants me to do anything. Like, it feels so good. And you guys are awesome. Like, why would I ever No. But I get it. I get it in my head too. I do the same thing. Even with this, I was like canceling and I was like, they're probably just doing this anyway because the agents. And so like I don't know if they're going to even ask me to come back. So everyone just gets in their head. Like,
Jack left. Okay, bye. We will. Becca,
see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening. The Lady Gang is produced by Alex Ingber, Steve Delameter, and Jared Monaco. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And if you love it, share it with your friends on social media. Like, oh my God, I just listened to Lady Gang. This episode's so great. Swipe up to listen. And if you really want to, which we know you do, please follow us on social at Kelty, at Becca, at Jack Vanek, and at The Lady Gang. Sign up for our newsletter at theladygang.com and join our secret Facebook group. It's super fun. See you next Tuesday.